Welcome, everybody, to my first podcast on ultrarunninginsights.com. And you've known me probably for a few years, most of you, since you sign up for my newsletter and get regular emails. And I decided to start this podcast series because I think, there's a huge need and demand for people to get to know other personalities in the sport outside just of what I have to offer. And so I really want to intend to present you different personalities in ultrarunning, trying to inspire you, to empower you, and encourage you to gain different perspectives on certain topics. And today I'd love to share with you the insights of a very accomplished ultra marathon runner, the German runner Jens Nehler. He's been a vegan for a few years, and his journey is just really, really impressive because he's come from a very different background, from eating a lot of meat and being absolutely not sporty at all. And then he's just found his way into ultra running a few years ago. And just up front telling you about his accomplishments is just amazing because he started his first marathon at the age of 40 a few years ago, and ran just a 3 hour and 40 time, which is still very, very good. But then he decided to follow Brendon Brasier's Thrive diet in the book, and he followed it for 5 months and improved his time by over 35 minutes. And he's now run a sub 3 hour marathon, and amongst his very, very impressive marathon times, he's also a very good long distance runner on the ultra marathon distances. So he's run various runs he's going to talk about, and I'm also very interested in demonstrating you what is possible through nutrition and the right approach to training. So first of all, let's just welcome Jens. Hello, Jens. Nice to speak to you today. I'm very happy to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Nice introduction, by the way.
Yes, well, you deserve it because you really are an amazing example of somebody who has also got the normal life, the normal routine of having a family to take care of. You work very hard. You're very successful in your job. You're part of a chief editing newspaper agency. You work very long hours, and still you are able to to show all these or to get all these results. And this is just so amazing in times where everybody's so busy. And this is also part of the efficiency that we can maybe cover in your training, what you do in combination with your vegan nutrition to be able to do what you do in your day-to-day life. So
By the way, you forgot I have four dogs as well, so
yes, that's another thing I would love to talk to you about too, because the dogs are very close and dear to your heart. You have four beautiful dogs, and you also have a website which is in German, but I still would like to add the link below the podcast later, so that if anybody who listens to this podcast who lives in Germany, because I know I have some German subscribers who's interested in finding out more about what you do with the dogs, or if somebody's looking for a dog specifically, they can get in touch with you. And this is what I love about your approach to life. You really don't just live the vegan nutrition in terms of eating the vegan foods, but it just really runs through your life, which we're also going to cover. So, first of all, Jens, I'd love to know how you actually got into running 5 years ago. What was that moment when you decided to say, okay, enough of my life where I am right now, something needs to change?
Well, the change didn't really happen with running in the beginning. I think the change happened a few years after my marriage, and it happened because of my wife. She didn't eat any meat for some years already, and always wanted to convince me to do the same. And well, of course, I knew what is happening in with all the animals, but however, I re really never, thought of it very. I didn't really get into it, and or I didn't want to get into it, and so I continued to eat meat and to do no sports. I was drinking quite a lot. I was smoking pretty much,
So
and
just tell us, when you say you ate a lot of meat, like that's something different for different people. What do you mean when you say you ate a lot of meat? And were you smoking like a pack of cigarettes or one a week, or what was,
oh well, I think I got out partying 20 years ago. I went out partying 4 or 5 times a week, and 10 years ago when we met, and after our marriage, I didn't do it this often anymore, but still twice a week or three times a week, and it got less with the years. And concerning smoking, I smoked around about one package a day, and when I went out, it was and drank a lot, it was two packages a day, so this was pretty much. And concerning meat, meat was very much part of my everyday normal life, because I don't, after I got vegan, I just realized that I didn't eat any sweets on my bread for years. I didn't even know how Nutella
that's a good one.
Yeah, I didn't even know how it tasted, because I didn't use it, and I always had some meat on my bread. And and so every day, nearly every day, I was eating meat. I didn't put anything else on my bread, so it was very much a part of my life. Yes.
So your wife sort of inspired you to try the vegan diet, but how did you actually then get into running too?
Okay, 5 years ago, my wife decided from one day to the other, it was Easter, and she said, well, Jens, from tomorrow on, I will completely stop eating animal products. And she was a vegetarian before already. Okay. So I thought, okay, so... vegan, I knew what it was, I heard of it, and but I never really digged or got into it pretty much. I didn't really know what everything what you have to avoid. And so I just, at this evening, I googled a little bit about being vegan and what it means, and of course I saw some videos and some website and very shocking pics. And yeah, well, then I decided, it made like a click in my mind, and I said, oh well, this is so damn the right thing to do. So I said, okay, let's have this Easter dinner with my parents. The last time I ate some meat was this Easter dinner, and from tomorrow on I will be at your side and do the same thing as you do and quit eating meat from one day to the other. And it was really like a click in my mind. It was like of course I knew what's going on in this mess industry, and but I didn't open my mind and didn't feel what's behind it. And second, it was not only the decision of my wife. Second, we also had some dogs, two dogs at that time, and having an animal is another thing that makes you look at animals with different eyes. So, and this helped me a lot too with this decision to quit eating meat. So first of all, it was an ethical decision to do that from one day to the other. And the healthy aspects of it, just I realized later.
Mm-hmm. So is it like going cold turkey from one day to the next?
Yeah, right,
kind of
right.
Like quit eating the meat, which is like, you know, not, you didn't have that intermediate step of what most people do, like quitting eating the meat, but then they still continue with vegetarian diet. So you went straight from eating a lot of meat to vegan diets.
Yeah, right, right. But, well, I think I'm sort of a man of extremes, you know. It's
well,
like,
that's part of our ultra marathon personas. Yes,
yeah,
nature,
absolutely. Yeah. When I drank, I drank pretty much. Even today, when I go out drinking or having a party, I really have problems not drinking very much. So I try to avoid this. And this decision was another one. From one day to the other, I thought being vegetarian is just half of the way it should be, so just consider doing it the right way. And that's what I decided from that moment to the other, and it worked pretty good. It's been easier than I expected it to be.
So walk us through the process here. So you stopped eating the meat, and what changed, like within the first few days and after a week? What can you recall was really like that moment of, oh, I really found something that feels so good now?
Well, in the beginning, I think it's been a lot of curiosity. Like, well, if you didn't really deal with it before, then you go shopping and you realize, oh man, there's not much I can buy anymore. When you go through a supermarket and you finally end up in the vegetable area, and that's the only stuff that you can buy. So it was very, very funny and interesting and shocking sometimes to go through a supermarket and to have a look at all the stuff that you ate before, and look at it and watch if there are any vegetable, milk, any eggs or whatever in there. And it's really shocking that nearly in everything that we consume there are products from animals. So this was really, it opened my eyes a lot, and I can go through a supermarket now not having to look at the right, at the left, because there are just four or five areas where I can pick something in my basket. So it's getting better, by the way. So but at that time it was like this. So it was a lot of curiosity, and this was a process that was very, very interesting, because seeing all these animal products or animal stuff in normally you would consider it to be a vegetarian or a vegan product, and you look at it and see in every cake, in every drink or whatever, there's some stuff in there, like gelatin, I think the
Yes.
same word in English. In apple juice, you can't drink normal apple juice because it's cleared with gelatin normally, and you didn't expect this. So it's been quite interesting to find out what there is that we can eat. And second, having this transformation, the other stuff that is very interesting is, of course, I was longing for a sausage or other meat.
Craving, the old
Yeah,
craving.
absolutely craving for it, because it wasn't a decision because I didn't like to eat meat anymore. I loved meat, and when there's a barbecue today, I'm still holding my nose over these sausages, and they, whoa, this smells good. And but however, I never ever would consider it to eat one of it.
So
And
you've never had like a fall back into some old
never,
habits. Okay.
never, no. Well, not that I knew it. There was one or two times that I ate something, and other guys came and say, "Hey, there's eggs in there." That's what I just mentioned. And you don't expect to have eggs or milk or whatever in the stuff that you're eating. And well, that's okay. I can change it, my God. But I never ate any meat after this anymore. And the second thing is, you have to find a sausage that is vegan. It helps a lot for vegans that find out very late in their lives what they want to do. It took me nearly 40 years, or more than 40 years, to realize that this is the right thing for me to do. And you've got habits, and you've got cravings for special stuff that you ate all your life. And the thing that you try to do is finding ersatz, what do
A
you call it?
supplement or a
Yeah,
different,
finding
yeah.
a supplement, stuff. Or yeah. And so I looked for a lot of sausages, and or soy meat, as you can call it, as you could call it, and try to do all this, or try to cook all these stuff that I ate before with vegan products, and it tasted awful mostly. However, in the meantime, I found some very great stuff that replaces everything that I loved to eat before. So it just changes, because after 2 or 3 weeks, I think there's something in your mind that is like changing one habit to the other. You're gonna get accustomed to it, and this worked out pretty fine. and was no problem in the end.
I think that's the interesting part, what goes on in the mind, because if you're so used to that habit, like you said, and you've been used to it, you were used to it 40 years, or consciously for maybe 30 years, or a little bit longer, and then to have such a change, I mean, that must just really completely rewire your brain. Because every time you felt a craving, it must have been like a new programming in your mind to say, no, I'm sticking to this. So do you think that experience, because you decided to do it with your wife, actually helped you to sort of hold each other accountable more and remind yourselves to stick to vegan to make it easier?
I wouldn't say that we both. Or of course, yes, of course, we both took advantage of each other because, first of all, of course, in cooking, my wife does a lot of cooking. I love to cook as well, but I don't really have the time so often as I wish I would have. And it's always great when you come home and there is someone knowing what you are allowed to eat and whatnot and what you like and preparing something for you. So very, very often my wife is also working, but just every second week. It helped a lot that she prepared our dinner, and this made it a lot easier, of course. Although in the meantime we changed our our diets pretty much. Means we are both still vegan, but after some years, I don't eat sugar anymore. I don't eat salt, or I don't salt my eat anymore. There's a lot more stuff that I do than she does on different aspects or different causes why I do that. So this absolutely helped a lot that she was there. Having a partner who is vegan as well is it's great. Yeah,
So
absolutely.
apart from that mind shift, like you say, just trying to install a new habit after 2 or 3 weeks and not having these cravings for the traditional meat stuff and sausages, what else changed for you physically and maybe also emotionally? Because I've heard of most people that turn vegan or go vegan that they experience like a deeper understanding of themselves because they're not so constipated with all the meat hormones and stuff. So everything just seems so much clearer in the body and the mind. So what changed for you in those aspects, physically and spiritually?
Well, I think in the beginning it was mainly a very interesting journey into what nutrition is. I never really dealt with what I'm eating. I just ate everything that was there. I didn't look if it was healthy or not. It just had to fill my stomach, and that was it. And I was not doing any sports at that time. I just went to work, got home, wanted to have something to eat, wanted to go into town, having a drink, having a cigarette, whatever. And that was it, mainly. And after being vegan and after having to look at all the stuff that there is in every supermarket, what is in there, it means that you begin to deal with nutrition on a total different viewpoint. Like, you just remember how great it was that when you were young and your grandma was cooking for you, and we realized that we weren't really cooking much or didn't really cook much. And cooking is such a joy, being in the kitchen and working with all these beautiful vegetables and what else we do have. We found so many new things that we didn't eat for years, or didn't eat much legumes, other stuff like quinoa or amaranth or
Chia seeds maybe, or
chia
different.
seeds. Yeah, they came later, and this different superfoods came later. What you call superfoods, I have a very odd opinion about this. But we tried a lot more than we ever did before, and we dealt with how healthy it should be or it was supposed to be. And this was very, very interesting, and it led us into the kitchen and let us work in the kitchen together. And this was the best thing that changed, because we let the television off and after work got together in the kitchen and were curious about what else could we now cook. And we had, of course, our vegan cookbooks because we didn't have any idea what delicious stuff we could make. We needed help, obviously. So we took help from all these cookbooks, and it was fun. It brought us together a little bit more because we spent more time together working on stuff that was really of importance for us, meaning nutrition. This was the main change in the beginning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And concerning the cravings, as I just said, it wasn't so much for me because I made my decision and I was pretty clear and focused on it. So it's like there is some pain you have to go through, of course, but the thing you get from it is much more worth it. And it was such an intense feeling, knowing that this is the right decision. As I just said, it was from an ethical point of view. And I felt so good and relieved, not having to think about all the animals that I could, I probably killed. That's what we do mainly. If you're eating meat or support this industry,
yes.
It just felt like a relief. So,
so you kind of focused on the bigger picture, and you just reminded yourself of why you actually the purpose of your shifting to the vegan diet, which then helped you to sort of deal with the cravings more.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's such a mind game, if I can just add to this, because, like, I think we always underestimate in any endurance sports just what an effect it can have if we shift from one bad habit into a good habit and focus on the bigger purpose of it. Like in an ultramarathon, if you train up to one of your 100 milers or marathons or 6-hour runs, you know, there's probably going to be some days where you feel like, oh, I don't want to train today or do the interval. But then you just like put into your focus what you actually train for, like the bigger goal, which then helps you to see it in perspective. And I imagine that's what you were trying to get at with the vegan nutrition, just focusing on your original purpose.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And I think I'm a very rational sort of person, in contrast to my wife, who's much, much more emotional. And
well, that's a women's thing.
Sorry,
that's a women's thing sometimes.
yeah. But however, I always wanted to get out a little bit more of me, and having or showing another perspective of me. And this worked even more with this because just feeling so much passion or being passionate about something makes you opens yourself to others, because I was so convinced that this is the right thing, was really feeling that I have to express it, and I have to express the relief. You know, imagine I'm on the highway and we are passing some trucks with pigs in there, and I could cry every time I see this.
Yeah, all crammed in and sad looking, and
yes, my God, this is every time, and it happens so often. Just drive over the highway 2 or 3 hours and count these, sorry, fucking trucks with these poor pigs in there, and or other animals in there, and you know they're being brought to the slaughterhouse, and yes. I always could cry, and this is why it feels so right. And I think this is also why it's so important to express your feelings a lot more. That's what I learned from it. Yeah, absolutely.
Because looking at your pictures, and because we've never met in person, but just looking at your pictures, you know, you have such a clean skin. You look very fresh and very slim and very fit. And it's hard to imagine like a person like you to have been overweight and looking podgy and smoking like crazy. So that's such a huge transformation, and it just goes to show that anything is possible if you have the right mindset for something bigger that you envision.
Yeah, but I must say I was never overweight. I never had problems with my weight. Of course I had around about 10 kilos more
than I mean
now.
Yes.
After a few months. I think after 6 months, it's been like, nearly 10 kilo that I lost because of vegan nutrition. Yeah.
So what would typically land in your supermarket bucket now? Like if you go shopping, what will we find in there if we went and came shopping with you?
Well, as I just said in the beginning, it was like many soy products. I don't buy this very often anymore. It's mainly nuts. It's whole grain products, not normal spaghetti, but whole grain. Mm-hmm. It's vegetables, it's fruits, and it is legumes. That's mostly it. That's not only mostly it, it's it.
Okay.
So it's pretty boring to go out shopping with me. Of course, sometimes I've got my cheat day as well. I love potato chips, for example. I used to eat them every day, one package.
Wow.
And I think twice a month I eat a package of potato chips on my cheat days. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're not the only one, because I'm similar. Sometimes you just have to feel like you have to give into a craving and just have a pack of good potato crisps, and then it's done again, you know, for a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes you very human, thank you.
I'm not a machine.
No, you're not a machine. Not. Well, you are, I think, in your running, you definitely are, which, you know, I want to connect to that now with the vegan nutrition. What has actually led you into becoming a runner?
This is interesting, because the first point was my wife, and after getting vegan, I was also thinking about, you've got to do more sports again. In my youth, I was doing pretty much sports until I was 20, mostly tennis and handball. Mm-hmm. But I've been always good at some endurance running. Means we had competitions in school, and we call it Bundesjugendspiele.
Oh, yeah, I remember those, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to do 100 meters. You've got to some other disciplines, and in the end I was never good enough to get the best medal, but you could also do a 3000 meter run, and you could pick one result of the more weak disciplines out of your result. And I was always doing this 3,000 meter run, and I was always very good at it, and it's made me finally earn the best medal. So okay. That's what I did when I was young. Ultra endurance sports, I just started later. It was team sports mainly, but when I got 20 and started to study, I nearly quit every sport for years, for around about 20 years. I played a little bit handball sometimes, but it wasn't really meant serious. It was like having a bunch of guys together, training a little bit, having fun. We didn't even train handball, we played football most of the time, and after the training we had a couple of beer and cigarettes and got home and felt good because we did something, and didn't realize that we broke it right after the training with yes. drinking and smoking, but we had fun. And yeah, so I didn't do much around about for 20 years. And at work, we've got the Kassel Marathon here, which is a great event. I would recommend it for everyone. It's not the best course, but it's, for me, it's not only because it's my
hometown.
I was born here. Yeah, it's my hometown. It's just so much support from the spectators, especially in the stadium at the end. So it's a great event here, and it, by the way, it's the first one that I ran and the first one that I broke the sub 3. And you can also run a half marathon, mm-hmm. and you can also run with a Staffel. What do you call it?
A team relay.
Okay, right, and that's what I started with. I started from work with three other guys, and I ran around about 10 kilometers, and I was dead after it. And that's what was when I was still smoking. And
Wow.
I decided, okay, well, let's try to quit smoking and let's try to run a little bit more. And that's what I did. The next year I did the half marathon. And then I decided, okay, running seems to be great. I got vegan. I felt a little better in being in this endurance stuff. I felt that to quit smoking helped me a little with my endurance, of course. And I began to train with some guys in a club here in Kassel. And this was pretty much the beginning of the decision to try, first of all, run a marathon, and second, to run ultras later. Because when I got vegan, I started to find some literature about combining this nutrition with sports, especially with running. And there's not much of it in Germany. There are some German runners, but there's not much literature, not much literature here.
Yeah, America is big on it, isn't it? I mean,
Absolutely. And of course, I found, first of all, Brendon Brasier with his Thrive lifestyle. And later on, of course, Rich Roll, whom I admire the most, and is very, very impressive and has a huge impact on my life.
Yes,
And
but both very great guys in their own sense.
yeah, absolutely. And of course, in the beginning, I read Scott Jurek's Eat and Run. I don't know if you know this book. You have to read it.
I've heard
It's
about it, but I've known Scott Jurek like from websites and whatever on the internet for years, but I've never actually read his book.
yeah, you have to read it. It's such a motivational book. You immediately. I read this book in the winter. It was really, really cold, and I didn't really was so much into training at that time. And I said, I gotta get out and run, and not only for an hour, for 2 or 3 hours, and this every day. And it's so incredible what Scott Jurek achieved in his career, and this with a vegan nutrition. So I admire these guys, all of the three, especially these three.
So from your weekly training in the club and deciding you were going to do a marathon, you decided to run your first marathon at the age of 40, and then those books came, all the literature came into the game, into play. And what happened then?
I ran the first marathon at the age of 40, and I got injured a little bit before, so I didn't really do the time that I wanted. I think that I was able at that time to have a 3:20 for my first marathon. That was the aim that I had usually, but I had to quit training for 6 months before, 6 weeks before. So I only did a 3:40. It was or 3:30. I don't even know it anymore.
Still a very good time, by the way, for anybody who it's a very good time.
But after that, by the way, I said to my wife, she was together with a runner before, and she hated it. She hates being together with a runner again because we are so much outside and so much away, and so we're always she's kidding a little bit about this, but I said, you know what, I run my first marathon and I will run it under 4 hours. And she said, you're kidding, never ever you're going to do this with this condition you are in at that time. And I said, if someone says never ever you're going to do this, that's even more of a motivation, you know.
Yes.
So I trained very much already for my first marathon, and as I said, I think it could have been a 3:20. And however, I was in the club training, and the trainer also saw that things are pretty good. I was improving quite much, and so I even trained more, put more hours in training. But plus, when I prepared for the second marathon 1 year later, the same in Kassel, I decided to do this Thrive nutrition philosophy of Brendon Brasier. I had the book, and I
It
found it.
contains a ton of recipes, by the way. For anybody who hasn't got the book, please get it because it's such a great piece of literature, and he explains so much about, you know, the effects of normal foods and processed foods, and how the body functions in endurance athletes. And it's got great sections with lots of recipes. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Actually, I think it's already 4 books that he wrote. And there is one especially on fitness. One on he didn't start his diet because of an ethical point of view or something, he was just looking at
performance. He was looking at
performance, right? And that's why he changed his diet to a vegan diet. And it's very impressive what he tells us about how he improved, why he improved, and how it works for himself and for others as well. And this was very, very, very interesting and very helpful, of course. And I started this diet for 4 months, and I did it really, really consequently. Means within these months, there was just 2 times when I... having sort of a cheat day, when I had an argument with my son and with my wife, I took some chips and ate them with much salt on it, and yeah, that's what it. Normally, it is not allowed. Just to say that, not meaning it too serious. Brendan Brazier is one of the guys who said if you are trying to transform, you can either do it as I did it. From one day to the other, but this is pretty hard. It's much easier just to do it way slower, to start with a smoothie, to put fruits in the smoothie in the beginning, and then after it, put more greens in it, get accustomed to it, make a habit out of it. So it's like an auto, it works automatically for you. And
I think it takes different personalities. Like you are very much a person who just, you know, loves the transformation from one day to the next. And then there's people that just love little tangible action steps every day.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Like supplementing a meat dish with a homemade pizza that he offers in the recipe book, or a different burger type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody can choose how it's the best for him. And well, this one worked for me from one day to the other. Just eating whole grain products, eating many stuff that I never ate before, for example, buckwheat or spelt, and much more vegetables than I ate before, much more legumes than I ate before, trying to avoid salt at all, trying to avoid sugar at all, and...
And he's very big on the hemp proteins, and he's very big on the very healthy proteins, and also, you know, offering recipes for energy bars and the protein part after training, which many people underestimate. You know, protein is such an essential part of or in endurance sports, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got my my protein shakes after heavy training. Mix it with carbohydrate, 4 parts carbohydrates, 1 part protein directly after training, and replacing sugar, for example, with dates. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very, very interesting and very profound, and it helped me a lot with my performance. I think not only with the performance, or the main aspect wasn't the performance itself, it was... the regeneration aspect. That's what he is stressing all the time himself, that using his Thrive philosophy helps you a lot to regenerate way
faster,
better, way better than you do without this nutrition. That means I was working pretty much, but after work, I went out having a hard training, then I had to go out with the dogs and whatever else there is, just a pretty normal life, but you also have to combine it. And when you're very much into training and nearly train every day, and not only for half an hour go out and having a 5 kilometer run or whatever, but 10, 15, 20 kilometer, then, you need something to for your body to help you regenerate. So, and this was pretty much with this with his nutrition. So it helps me to give me the energy to manage the job, the training, and all this other stuff, family, way better
And I guess
with all.
the training load was probably more intense because you were able to recover faster, so you were
Yeah.
able to put in more intensity into your training. And would you say that those over 35 minutes in improvement is just really extraordinary, to achieve from 1 year to the next? Would you say, well, how much of that would you say goes back to switching to or to really sticking to his Thrive diet in order to improve so much,
Well, I'm pretty sure that I did more training. The training was in more intense from this 1 year to the other. But however, these 40 minutes are pretty much as you just said. And as I just said before, I thought 320 would have been working. But even changing from 320 to 3 hours and 3 minutes, that's 70 minutes within 1 year. This is on this level pretty much as well. So I am pretty sure that it's around about 80% is nutrition. And the training itself got a little bit more intense, but just to make this more intense training function work, it was the nutrition that let me do that, and that helped my body to be capable of doing all this. And
Well, what's interesting is that you were already vegan before you started using Brendan's recipes and his philosophy. So what can you say? Because when you say 80% of your nutritional changes added to such an improvement in the marathon, what can you filter out were the one or two foods or changes from vegan to doing it even more extensively with Brendan that led you to such a performance?
I think there are many of these pseudo cereals, I think you call it, like buckwheat and spelt and all that stuff. When you normally eat noodles or normal rice or whatever as or potatoes, you eat it pretty much in a normal diet. And when you replace this with a buckwheat, with a quinoa, with amaranth or a spelt, I think this helps a lot more with the carbs that you consume, that your body can work way better with. That gives you a lot more energy than normal white rice, where there's nothing in there which gives your body any energy. These are empty nutrition, empty Nahrungsmittel. What do
Yeah,
you?
foods,
Yeah,
foods.
empty foods,
Yeah.
just yeah, right. Without any doing any good for your body. So
So are you pointing at the nutrient density, like how
right.
the wholeness of the foods that actually added to the better recovery, and you were able to train on a higher level each time?
Yeah, that's you find the right words for it. Now it's getting a little bit more scientific. There's my vocabulary is missing a little
No,
bit
that's fine.
on
I just
this.
want to filter out because it is such a huge jump from 1 year to the next. So for people to understand, who listen to this, what can they apply to their life if they find themselves at the point where they are looking to improve and they're doing all the training, but because you just filtered out like the two or three, four foods that could really make a difference, and that's
Right.
so useful for people that listen to this.
Yes, right. So nutrient dense is the absolute right point. I think that's also the definition that he himself puts says in his books. It's like just try to eat something that your body has not to work on the digestion.
Yeah,
Or
and
the
breaking it
less your
down.
body has to
Yeah.
work on the digestion, the more energy you have for other stuff, or your body has for other stuff. This means it helps you, of course, a lot in training. It helps you a lot of in recovery, and these two aspects are so important. And I think these are the main reasons why my performance really boosted so from 1 year to the other. And I never felt this good. I didn't even feel tired, although I trained a lot more and my work didn't change. I still had to go to work every day. and not only 5, 6, 7 hours, but normally longer. It
yeah.
was pretty hard. So this really, really, really helped.
So, and I guess you could convince your wife that it's all worth it, because you impressed not only you, but probably everybody around you with such a great time.
Yeah, my wife is still not too much in my running sports. She's supporting it, but I think she doesn't even really go to all of my races, because as I just said, she had a boyfriend before who was running 4 years, and now there's another runner in her life and she can't escape it. Just kidding. She's supporting it. It's okay with her. And of course, she's proud of it. My parents are proud of it, not only because I've got such good times now, or am a pretty good runner, but mostly because my life really changed. And of course, they knew that I was drinking quite much and partying and, well, yeah, wasn't really living healthy. And this all changed with the step of first decision going vegan and then starting to run. And yeah, these are all these benefits that I take from it now.
And in terms of benefits, do you feel that your environment, like your work colleagues and friends that you used to go out with and have your beer and your cigarettes with, how did that social environment change? Because you are going through such a change, and if people can't keep up with you or even criticize you and maybe tell you, well, what's that all about? How did you deal with that? Because you were still in the same job, in the same office, and all these changes. So how did people react in your direct environment?
Well, I think when I started to with my vegan lifestyle, it's not only eating, it's also trying to avoid leather and other stuff. And you've got this absolutely change in your mindset. I think the problem was more dealing with me in the beginning, because I realized so much that I led a life that it was not really correct only for 39 years. This knowledge, just I wanted to scream it out. I wanted to say, hey, everybody,
do
just
it.
Just it after 39 years. Don't you see that? Don't you feel any passion, or don't you see this cruelty? It's not only this, it's not only the animals, it's also we are exploiting the planet, we are exploiting other countries, other people, and we can do something against it. We are so rich here, we don't have to eat meat. There's so much food on the planet, but it has not to be animal food. It can be plant-based at all.
Yeah, we'll never run out of good foods to eat, especially not in places like Western industrial countries like where we live, and we have such an overload of offerings and things to eat. And yet I think I've read one study that the average person only really eats 10 to 15 different foods, and without realizing it, it's always the same foods. And that's why habits die so hard, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. The variety of what I'm eating now is way, way better than what I was eating before, and what most of the people that I know consume every day. So this is one point, but I think in the beginning it was pretty hard for them to deal with me, because I wanted to convince them. Sort of I'm on a mission, you know, and this can be really, really, I wasn't really aggressive, but I got on their nerves, of course. And this changed after a while, because it was so intense for me. And after 3 or 4 months, it got better with me. I just said, okay, well, it's very, very important for me. I think it's important for the whole planet, for everyone to be more aware of how they are living, what they are eating, not only for their own health, but for the sake of the planet and the children. And of course for the animals. And I think the best thing you can do is just to live it, and just don't make treat it as if it was something very special, but that is just a normal way of life. And that is a very easy to live normal way of life, because in the beginning, of course, you have to change a little bit. You have to change your habits a little bit, But after some month, I'm leading a normal life like everybody else does. I'm a vegan. Okay, so what? I still have something to eat on my plate every day and way more variety than many other people. I lead a good life with this.
And it also shows in your performance and your training efforts, like when you do interval training and prepping for your next race, 6 hour race. Right, you know, if you are you embody that really. And one thing that always comes up, I think, for people is, well, don't you miss anything if you switch to a different diet? Or like you said earlier during our conversation, you said you're thinking about all the things you were not allowed to eat. And I think that's the restrictive part so many people fall for, that they think, oh my God, if I switch to the vegan diet, I'm not allowed to eat certain foods. Right. But you just mentioned that all of a sudden you saw this, you had this great discovery of so many different foods that were always there, but you just didn't see them until you shifted.
Yes, right.
And that's so amazing. So what do you tell people that say, well, you can barely eat anything as a vegan?
Yeah, and it changed pretty much. After I made this, or after I was not this on a mission anymore, and just live my life as a vegan, it changed it so far that until now, it's normally like when we're sitting together on a table with other people, I don't at all talk about my diet. I try, if there's someone who doesn't know that I'm vegan, I try not to say, oh, here, I am vegan, and I can't eat this and that and whatever. I just order something or what else, or I bring something with me if we are invited or however. And it's not me talking about it. When other people recognize that I'm a vegan, they start a discussion with me. And in the end, they're like, oh, well, you're on a mission. You're so aggressive on it. I say, hey, I didn't start it. So it wasn't my thing, you know?
It can really trigger people. I think it can trigger their own habits or maybe their own inability to wanting to change something.
Yeah, this happened in my environment, meaning I live here in a big house. My brother is living, my twin brother is living right on the left. My parents are living on the right. So it's sort of a farm of my family here.
Family farm, that's a good word.
Yeah, right. Their nutrition changed a lot as well. They are eating way less meat, and they're still eating meat, all of them. But
your twin brother, could you inspire him too to make some changes?
Never. He eats less meat, but then way less than he did before. But I can't convince him to change his life to a totally plant-based diet. But he changed in a different way because he's a beekeeper now, for example. It's so interesting. He's got a different mindset. Like what he learned is that I'm not only vegan for ethical reasons and for healthy reasons, but also for environmental reasons. And we are talking a lot about this, and he found his way of thinking, oh, he's right. So he's planting in his garden, his own tomatoes and all that.
Oh, wow.
His own salad. And 2 years ago, he decided, oh, well, I'm going to be a beekeeper and make my honey for myself.
Well, that's amazing.
That's so great.
I'm going to have to order some honey from you and get it sent to me. I love honey.
It's delicious. Normally, vegans don't eat honey. I'm not a vegan like this. When I know where it comes from, I also eat some honey. So, yeah.
Yeah, but, honey.
Normal sweets that you buy, that's industrial honey, and I don't want to eat this.
Yeah, honey is a whole new topic, isn't it? I mean, that's a discussion worth one podcast, because absolutely, honey is so artificial. There's barely any really good quality honey because people always go for the cheapies in supermarkets, when really, like, you get a good pot of honey for 10 or 15 euros, which is really good quality, and you know where it comes from.
Yeah. So I sent you a class next year, this year, when it's ready.
Well, this year, please. Yes, I'm making my order. Yeah, so from that transitioning and leading by example and inspiring other people to think about their own diets, or like to the extent of your brother now, what he's changed. How did you then integrate that nutritional part into your ultra running performance? So when was your first ultra marathon?
This was last year, after I did the sub 3 in 2015. I said, "Oh well, that's a cut." I never thought I could run a marathon below 3 hours, so I did it. I crossed it 3 times now, and the best time is 2:54. And this was so amazing. I said, "Okay, that's it." I don't really want to do this intense interval training that I really, really hate.
I believe you, yeah.
I love to run for hours, okay, and slow. That's more my thing. And I decided if I wanted to go even better. I mean, 2:54 is pretty great already.
It
And
is.
but I think I could do 2:50 or 2:49, something like this. And this could be a challenge, but on the other hand, it's like, oh well, this means very, very hard training, and I'm not really too into it. And by the way, when I started running, I just mentioned these three guys, Scott Jurek especially, Brendon Brazier-Rich Roll. These are all ultra runners, ultra endurance athletes, and I always dreamed of running some ultras. And from the beginning, it was just a dream, and after these 4 or 5 years of running, it was sort of a self fulfillment that it worked out after this sub 3. I decided to run the 100K in Taubertal, Rothenburg ob der Tauber in Germany, and directly after this marathon in Frankfurt. I decided to do this 100K in Taubertal. Had 1 year of preparation, and this was my it was planned to be my first ultra marathon, but I said in the phase of training 4 or 5 months before, it would be pretty good if I try to run more than 42 kilometers at least once before. So I looked for another ultra marathon. This was the Buchwald Marathon.
It was 54 kilometers, wasn't it?
54
Yeah.
kilometers. There was some elevation gain, 800 meters. And it was the hottest day of the year. And I won this thing.
Well, you won it. Yeah, I just meant to say you came first in like 4.5 hours.
Yeah, 4.5 hours. This was great. It was absolutely amazing. You start at stand at the finish line. You know, there are some experienced ultra runners, and in the end, you win it. It was absolutely incredible. Well, as I just said, it's been the hottest day of the year. So, and it's been the first time they did an ultra marathon in their race. They have normally marathon and half marathon. So I guess there weren't the best people over there, but however, it's been a great result and a great motivation for me and to keep on training that I was on the right way. So there was this Taubertal 100K,
Which was just
and
like a month or 5 weeks later.
I think 5 or 6 weeks later,
Yeah.
So the first ultra marathon was sort of a training run for the Taubertal 100. And probably it worked out this good because of it, because I didn't consider it to be a race for me, but just a training. So it worked pretty good. And I trained after a plan of Hubert Beck, who is the organizer of this run as well, because I
Okay.
didn't have any experience in training plans for 100Ks. And there was very much volume in it, with 3 weeks with more than 160 kilometers. And this was pretty much, I took 15 days off of work, and then there was this great race, and I was feeling very, very good, very prepared. And I did the same mistake that I did when I tried to run my first marathon below 3 hours. I started too fast,
I
but
just meant to say overpacing is one of the most,
right. And I
yeah.
knew it, you know, I knew it. But it's always like you feel, okay, you can probably go faster because it's, you know it from the marathon, but it didn't help. I just started with a pace of around about 4:40, and after the first 42K, the first marathon, I was pulling my iPhone out and doing some Facebook Live audio. Hey guys, I'm running here and it's so great. And I just finished my first marathon in 3 hours 23.
And I've got another 1.5 to go, no problem.
Yeah, right. And I was feeling so good. And but I was saying already on this Facebook Live, well, I guess it's a little bit too fast, but I'm feeling good still. So, well, I knew that at that point it was too fast, way too fast. Because normally, I think it would have been possible to do an 8:30 or something, or 8:40. And I would have been second with 8:40. In the end, it's been 9:15, which was pretty good as well. But this would have meant a pace from 5 minutes. And I was way too fast. So after 50 kilometers, everything was fine. But after 73, it really knocked me out. It was like the man with the hammer in the marathon. After 32 kilometers, it was after 73 kilometers there. I had to stop from one point to the other. Yeah, and from that point on, it was like exhaustion and then a little bit, yeah, mindset probably that I decided.
So what kept you going at that point? What went on in your mind at that point when you hit the wall? Because I know it affects anybody. That, I mean, from my own experience, there's always that wall and you're kind of prepared for it. And then when it actually happens, you just have to tap a different resource inside yourself. What was it for you that kept you going and still finish in such a great time overall?
Well, I think I sort of have a strategy in putting myself under pressure. I'm doing very much on Facebook and on Strava and on a little bit on Instagram as well. And I was talking about this 100K month before, and I'm nearly posting every single training unit. And not just because I want people, hey, this guy is cool and crazy. I also love to look at other people posting their trainings because I can learn from them. I can help them. There are other guys who are way more crazy in what they're doing, what they're training than I am. And I admire these people for what they do. So it's great to be, for some people, a help. And on the other hand, other people help me in just keeping the discipline, you know. And I put so many out on social media. Then I was like, oh, you can't quit after 73 kilometers. Hey, what's you're always stressing, hey, I'm doing this 100K, I'm so good in shape and whatever, you can't quit here. No way, never. So this was the first thing that I was thinking. I didn't think about myself or bad I was feeling. I was thinking, no.
You can't disappoint them. I can't disappoint them.
I can't disappoint them, no. It was not the disappointment for me. I was pretty proud already that I ran 73 in quite a good time. But at this time, I didn't have any clue how to finish another 27 kilometers. And well, then, of course, I read what happened, what can happen and what you can do. And I started going a little bit, running a little bit and so on and so on. I got to improve that if it happens to me again. But I'm definitely sure that I won't start a race too fast again. and yeah, after around about 15 kilometers doing this, I could start running again because the body just regenerates so fast. Well, I lost all my time on this last 27 kilometers, you know, but the last 15 kilometers or the last 10 kilometers, it was really like the pace that I should have been done all the time. I would run about 5 minutes, as I just said. So this helped me a lot. And I absolutely wanted to finish this 100K. There was no... I just heard a podcast of Rich Roll and about a filmmaker who was doing a documentary about the Four Deserts run.
I've listened to that too. It was really impressive what she said.
Yeah. And what she said was like, she was asking all these people that there were some people looking very, very fit.
Yeah.
Most of the people didn't. And these were the ones who didn't quit in the end. And they all of them are saying most of it, or what she's convinced most of it is mindset. You've got to have the right mindset for this race. But all the people that she was asking, so what will you do when you can't finish it? And they didn't answer her question. That's what he thought, in the, what she thought in the beginning. They all said, well, I will finish it. So there was no single doubt. One yeah. saying or even considering that they would not finish it. And this doesn't came in her mind. She was in the beginning thinking about like, oh, she didn't, or this guy didn't answer my question. But the more often she heard that from all these people, she was like, okay, this is a totally different mindset because they don't even think about it. And that's how it has to be if you want to run such an ultra endurance event.
So you don't allow yourself that thinking, that mindset of, oh, I'm not sure about myself and maybe it's not healthy if I continue. It's that belief and nothing else comes in the way. It's a deep set belief. And I think that's the hardest for people to understand. It's not so much the physical stuff, because anybody, I would say, can get fit for a 50K or a 80K or even 100K. But it's the game of mind, which I just want to touch with you on a bit more right now, is from, because you stand for somebody who literally goes from smoker, alcohol, unhealthy lifestyle and diet to, you know, discovering your endurance and your ability from middle distance to 10K to marathon to 54K and then to 100K. And, you know, and that shift is just so amazing because, you know, it just goes to show that anybody with the right frame of mind and passion can achieve that. And that's, I think, what we all stand for. We're not professional runners who have the time all day long to recover, eat and sleep. We all lead normal lives with families and jobs and everything. So what would you say was that shift for you from the marathon to the 100K or even the 54K to 100K? Because it is quite a jump. So I just want people to understand like what went on in your mind, in your decision to know and believe in yourself that you are going to achieve it and get to the line.
Well, it was sort of like there is no consideration of failing in this one. I knew that my body was capable of doing it because I trained very hard for it. So I knew that if there was sort of an exhaustion, it would go away after a while. I just have to be patient and just don't have to break down with my mind and just have to focus on on the final party when you cross the finish line, because that's the race itself is just the whole how do you call it? It's the race itself is just the celebration of all what you've been doing the months or weeks.
It's like the icing on the cake, the cherry on top of the cake.
Yeah, right. And all this training, all this discipline, all this pain you had before, this is the thing which is way more intense than the race itself. And I enjoyed having trained so good. I enjoyed the moment of the race. And even though I was exhausted, I said, like, I still considered it as being such a very special time in my life, and even if it was in 9 hours or if it was 10 or 12 hours, I really I thought I would probably finish in 10 or 11 hours just going the whole thing, you know. And but I didn't consider to get out of the race, and just because I'm so convinced that we are so capable of doing much more than we think we can do. And we just have to try it. And most of the people don't even try it. And that was what was on my mind, even on my marathons when I was pretty dead in the end after 32 kilometers. I had my bad marathons where I started to fast and I was exhausted. And it's always like, this is the special moment, the celebration of the training. And there's no such thing as failing. And yeah, that was what brought me through it and to all my other events that I'm planning to do. So yeah.
So what would you tell somebody who's just considering stepping up to that distance and just kind of feels a little insecure or not quite sure, in terms of, oh, am I going to do this? Can I do this? What's your advice for people that are just.
Okay, my advice would just be, well, first of all, be convinced that you can achieve it. But there's, of course, it's not only talent, it's much training. So everybody has to be realistic. I'm pretty sure that most of the people can do a marathon and run longer than marathons, but it's not just a talent. There has to be also much training. Well, it depends on what you're planning to do. If you're a racer or if you just want to jog a little bit, you know. I always have this competitive moment when I'm running. I need it, otherwise I wouldn't run. But there are other people who just enjoy runs a lot more. They don't have it or probably just a competition with themselves. That's fine. I love to compete with others as well. So, and I would give them the advice to just train regularly. Many people train very good for some weeks and then they get out of training and start again. And if you're not doing it consistently, then you don't even have to train. You lose all your improvements very fast. And of course, I would also always say concentrate on your diet, get enough sleep, because especially when you're doing ultra endurance, recovery is also has also to do a lot with sleep. And this Brendon Brasier diet, where you get more out of your body just because the body hasn't to deal this much with digestion, is really helping a lot, in my opinion, to set free more energy. So, this would be my advice.
Yeah, because sleep is a very big issue for especially us as ultra runners because we have to sort of fit in the longer training because by definition we run long distances and then there's our jobs and family and all these commitments and then sleep is something that can easily be forgotten and when you lack sleep you get into that spiral of being stressed out and your body may shut down or you may get injured and everything just kind of like falls by the wayside. So in terms of the vegan nutrition and the effect it's had on your sleeping pattern, can you just cover that briefly of how that's changed over the years since you've been vegan?
Oh well, I think I'm yeah, but I probably I have a deeper sleep. I don't know. I awake with much more energy. That's it. I don't know really where it comes from. If it's from nutrition or if it's just because I've got these deeper sleep phase. I don't really know. I never really examined it. So yeah, can say this much. I thought I was a little bit had an eye on my telephone because I really forgot, sorry Anna, that I have go to the doctor with the doctor. It got a little bit longer than we expected it to be.
Yes, we're
So
just in the flow, and I just meant to say that, I'd love to cover more on your upcoming events. You have some big races this year. You are running a 100 miler in August, and you're also running a 6-hour race soon, and then many other races you have planned. And next year, you're going to be highlighting the year, and probably the highlight of your year, hopefully, is going to be the Marathon des Sables next year in 2018. So I'd love to cover more with you on specific race and training nutrition because I think that's just going to be so beneficial for people to hear of exactly how you do that and also going into more of the ethical side of vegan nutrition and talking about your dogs. So I just want to thank you right now for making the time available and for this extremely nice chat with you. Very thankful for that and would love to continue and set a new appointment in the near future. And talking also about injuries and just your training approach would be great.
Yeah, let's do the second part of it. I'm so sorry that I have to interrupt this
No
here.
problem.
So,
That's what happens when you're in flow. So it's just
yeah,
all positive. But
but
yes.
however, so this was such a great 1 hour, and I want to say as well that I follow you for some months already, and I really appreciate the stuff that you're posting and that how you're dealing with this training and mindset thing. And it's very inspiring for me too. So it was really, really cool that you have me here on your Reborn podcast. You did some podcasts before. And
years ago, yeah.
So just start with me. This is really cool for me. And yeah, we definitely have to keep it up and continue with it. And next time, I won't forget my the
appointment. That's no problem. Yeah. It was still a chat worthwhile. And I'm going to post the link to your dog website and your group that people can join to online for any Germans in here. And yeah, thank you so much again, Jens, for all your time and your insights into your life and your training and your personal life and work. It was such a pleasure. And yeah, I just look forward to talking to you very soon.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.